Okay, tonight is Tuesday night, November 20th. This is the Women's Mishnah Gemara Shir, starting a new topic tonight. And the name of the topic is Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. A very well-known topic throughout Shas, and its origin is in Maseches Sukkah. So what you have in front of you is Daf Chaf Hei, Amud Aleph in Masechet Sukkah, and on the flip side is Amud Bet. And we're going to read quite a bit of Gemara today, try to get a little flavor first before we start delving into a lot of the principles and concepts. So the Mishnah states, Shluchei Mitzvah Piturin Min HaSukkah. Page 1. Shluchei Mitzvah Piturin Min HaSukkah. People who are agents, who are traveling to fulfill a mitzvah, are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. Shluchei mitzvah, piturim min hasukkah. So Rashi gives three examples of what are shluchei mitzvah. On the right hand side, bracketed, Rashi, shluchei mitzvah. Holchei baderech, people who are traveling on the road. No, that's Tosfot. Rashi's on the right-hand side. Rashi, yeah. Everybody have it? On the right? Shulchei Mitzvah. Says Rashi, Holchei Baderech Mitzvah. People who are traveling in order to fulfill a mitzvah. Kigon, Lilmod Torah. Somebody's traveling to go to yeshiva. Ula Hakbil Pinei Rabo. Somebody who is going to be mekabel his Rebbe, in order to, he visits his Rebbe. It's a special obligation every Yom Tov. Chayev Adam lekabel es pnei Rabo baregel, mitzvah to do that. And the third one is oliftot shvuyim, to redeem captives. So the person is currently doing absolutely nothing that constitutes a mitzvah. He's not learning. He's not at his Rebbe's house. He hasn't redeemed a captive yet. But he's on the way. He's traveling. Nonetheless, he is identified as a shliach mitzvah. And as a shliach mitzvah, he also is exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. And then Rashi adds something that is unbelievably spectacular and subject to all of the Rishonim's critique of him. Piturin min hasukkah, continues Rashi, afilu bisha'at chaniyatan. They went to Motel 6. They left the light on for them. And they checked in for the night. So they're not traveling. They're sitting there with their feet propped up on the thing, you know, the ottoman, and they're watching ESPN. That's what they're doing, watching a football game. Last night's game went till almost 12 o'clock, 54-51. What a game. What a game. And they're sitting there snacking away, eating hamburgers and everything else, and they don't have to go out and get a sukkah. Even as they are not traveling. And all of the Rishonim will see some of them eventually. Phil, why should you be exempt? I can understand when you're traveling. So to start looking for a sukkah is not easy. You'd have to, you know, stop, perhaps get off track. But when you're in the hotel, why should you not be obligated to look for a sukkah? Just p'turim in a sukkah. But that's what Rashi says, nonetheless. Good. Let's continue the Mishnah. Cholin u'misham shehen piturin min hasukkah. Cholin, somebody who's ill, and it does not mean somebody who's deathly ill, cholesh yesh bo sakana, because I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that a cholesh yesh bo sakana is exempt from sukkah. A cholish yesh bo sakana is exempt from every mitzvah of the Torah. Doesn't have to observe anything. And if need be, not only is he exempt from the 248 mitzvot aseh, He's even exempt if he has to violate any of the 365 negative commandments. For a cholesh yesh basakana, a doctor who orders you must eat meat, and there is no kosher meat available, just eat non-kosher meat, no problem. A doctor, somebody who's a cholesh yesh basakana, we are mechal Shabbos all the time. No doubts, no asking questions, we don't delay. So this chole is somebody who's not yesh bo sakana. Somebody has a bad headache. Somebody has a terrible cold, and he's so upset he just has to lie down. And that is the definition of a chole she'ein bo sakana. Nafal limishkav. He can't keep up his daily routine. He has to lie down. That's because he has a terrible headache, terrible stomach ache. His legs are killing him. Whatever it is, under those circumstances, the chole and misham shehen, all of the people who are tending to the chole's needs, are also exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. The Gemara will explain why in a little while. And the third halacha of this Mishnah is a three separate halachot. It's hard to understand why Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi simply plopped them all together, because it doesn't seem to be any common denominator amongst the three. Ochlin v'shotin arai chutz l'sukkah. You are allowed to eat and drink a snack out of the sukkah. So what this Mishnah is telling us, the Chiddush, is that to tell me that you're allowed to eat an apple out of the sukkah, I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that. Because there is no isur to eat meat, fruit, fish, vegetables, no isur whatsoever to eat them out of the sukkah. If you should eat them in the sukkah in order to gain an opportunity to fulfill another mitzvah. But you don't violate an isur by eating them out of a sukkah. So you're allowed to drink water, coffee, tea, eat anything you want other than things made out of grain. Anytime you eat something made out of the chameshes haminim, you eat bread, you have oatmeal, under those circumstances, you have to eat it in the sukkah. Plus, you are not allowed to eat them out of the sukkah. So, here the Mishnah is talking about that you would like to, not like to, you are eating something which is obligatory to be eaten in the sukkah. So you must eat bread. You must eat crackers. However, a snack, arai, and the Gemara will define that later by a certain quantity of even grain is permitted out of the sukkah. So if you have a little cracker that you want to just eat, a little cracker, tzitzibasin, a piece of herring, right? So under those circumstances, if you can eat the herring, you can also eat you don't have to run into the sukkah for that. That's what the Mishnah is saying. If you will eat a certain quantity of crackers with your herring, then you have to go into the sukkah for that. If you eat a certain quantity, the Gemara will later explain what that quantity is.
It doesn't matter if it's the ikar or the tafel.
Makes no difference if it's the ikar or the tafel. That is correct. That only is in relationship to the bracha. And the bracha. That's correct. So that's the famous halacha. If you eat crackers and herring, you make a shahakol niyeb devaro. You don't make a bari mizonos on the cracker. Because you're not eating the cracker to eat the cracker. You're eating the cracker because you want to take away some of the sharpness of the herring. So therefore, the ikar in this circumstance is the herring. Same thing if you eat, according to the Rav, an ice cream sandwich. You only make a shahakol. You don't make a mizonot on the cookie bread because that's not why you bought an ice cream. If you wanted cookies, you'd buy a bag of cookies. So the ikar is the ice cream, and therefore you make that bracha. Right. Yeah. Same thing, yeah. Same thing on a wrap. The ikar is what's inside, not the grain wrap. So a lot of people say you make a mezonos on a wrap. You make a... depends what is inside the wrap. If it's a vegetable wrap, you make bar pri adama. If it's a tuna wrap, you make a shahakol. An egg salad wrap, you make a shahakol. If, you know, whatever's inside, because the bread, that wrap does not have, is not considered... No, of course not. Shahakol and bari nefashos on a wrap.
The wrap now is like bread, it's like a sandwich.
But it's not right. When you expect a meal of bread, right? No one's going to just have a wrap on the table. Just a plain wrap. They're not going to have bagels and bread on a wrap. Just plain wrap bread.
Like flat breads that are like wraps.
Panini.
They'll be on a... No, not panini, because panini's thick. But like, you know, like... I'm not tortillas, but people do eat those. And so a sandwich is very similar to what you're saying. You could say you're having a tuna sandwich, you should...
No, but they're the bread. That's why you're eating a sandwich.
That's the same with the wrap now.
No,
so everyone eats wraps.
I know, because that's to hold the tuna.
Right, so, and,
okay. Okay, so you can make whatever you want. I'm just telling you what I do. That's all. I don't make a shahakol. I make a shahakol on a tuna wrap. You can make a mezonos and wash and bench.
Are you allowed to do that? I think that's true.
Just ask your brother. He'll tell you what he does. That's all. Okay, that's what the Mishnah says. So the Gemara, which we will focus on now, zooms in on the first halacha of the Mishnah, namely, Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. If you are engaged in traveling to fulfill a mitzvah, you are exempt from the mitzvah of Sukkah. Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. Asks the Gemara. Minahani mili. How do I know that this halacha is indeed true? That osek b'mitzvah exempts you from another mitzvah. Ditanu rabbanan. We learned in a braita. The pasuk in the Shema says, b'shivtecha b'veitecha. So you have to start at the beginning of the phrase. Vahayu hadvarim ha'ele asher anochi mitzavcha hiyom alavavecha. Vishinantam livanecha. Teach these words to your children. When? Vishivtecha beveisecha uvlechtecha vaderech. Uvishachbecha uvikumecha. So, uvishachbecha uvikumecha teaches us the original chiyuv of Kriya Shema. At night, when you are sleeping, and when you get up in the morning. Also, when you are traveling, when you are sitting in your house, b'shivtecha b'veisecha, uvelechtecha baderech, and when you're traveling. Those two phrases are totally superfluous. If there's an obligation for you to read Kriya Shema, b'shachbecha uvekumecha, who cares whether you're on the road or what? Or you're at home. Shivtecha b'veisecha. You're sitting at home. The grace of chiddush. I have to read the Shema when I'm sitting at home. What's the chiddush? Therefore, once Chazal believe that the words in the Torah are superfluous, they are available for drash. This drash will be used to limit the scope of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So b'shivtecha b'veisecha prat l'osek b'mitzvah. When you sit in your house, that's only when you're doing your own activity. That's how the Gemara is going to darshan it. B'shivtecha b'veisecha, when you're sitting out doing your own thing. But if you're doing Hashem's mitzvah, you are exempt. Uvelechtecha baderech prat l'chatan. A chatan is exempt from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema the first night of his marriage. Prat lichatan. Mikan omru, from this braita, chachamim concluded, hakones et habitula, somebody who marries a virgin, patur, is exempt from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Vo'et ha'almana, somebody who marries a widow is chayav in the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema that very first night. So let's look at this for just a second. Just for a second. Why would you say that a chatan is exempt from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema?
He must be oseik the mitzvah.
What mitzvah?
Well,
what mitzvah is he fulfilling? Okay, no, kedushin is by putting on the ring.
Right, but
he's consummating the marriage. He's consummating the marriage, and that's why he is exempt from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Ask a question, which the Gemara will follow. But you asked the question. Look at that brayta.
That's a mitzvah.
What?
That's a mitzvah. If that's a mitzvah, why would you just fall into prison?
That's the question I was waiting for. The Gemara is going to ask you a question. Why only a virgin, a betulah? If you marry an almana, same mitzvah then. Same mitzvah. So why is the brayta? Gemara will ask that question in a second. So asks the Gemara, my Mashma. How does this teach us an exemption based on the fact that it says uvelechtecha baderech? How do you learn out from that prat lechatan? Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna answers ki derech. You are chayav in Shema when you are in the process of uvelechtecha baderech. Ma derech reshut, just like most of us, when we travel in the street, we walk, we're in our cars, what is the ultimate destination? And what activity am I doing 99% of the time when I am in the car? Except if you're doing carpools all day to yeshiva. But if you're not, what are you doing? You're going to Grand on Essex, you're going to this shopping, that shopping, right? You're going to the Giant game on Sunday, right? Watch the Giants beat the Bucks 38-35, right? That's what you did. So the only time that the mitzvah of obligatory of Kriyat Shema applies is if you're doing activities just as we normally do when we're traveling. Af kol rishus. So too, all other activities which are rishus do not interfere with our obligation to engage in the recitation of the Shema. Le'afuke hai, to eliminate this case, de'bemitzvah osuk. De'bemitzvah osuk.
Which means the chatan.
Okay, so, yeah, exactly. The chatan or any mitzvah, correct? The mitzvah. And now, a second question that should be asked is if, as the Gemara here, up until this point, it's going to sharpen it in a minute, but up until this point, we, as Nechama just said, yes, the chatan is not engaged in something rishus. He's doing something which is what? A mitzvah. So what question would you ask having read the Mishnah and having read this Braita? What question would you ask having read the Mishnah and having just read this Braita? Just based on how the Gemara has interpreted this particular Braita. Without the later elaborations and emendations.
Well, why did they take that time
with
the other mitzvah? Why particularly?
Sharper. Look at the Mishnah. Look at the first case of the Mishnah and ask the question.
Okay. How is the chatan between, you know, when night starts and then, you know, several hours later, how is he on the way to a mitzvah?
Here's the situation. He's going to consummate the marriage at 11 o'clock at night. It gets dark tonight at 4:30.
Right.
Why is he exempt from Kriya Shema at 5 o'clock?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
How is he on the way from tonight?
That's a different question. I didn't ask you to look at the Mishnah's opening phrase to ask that question. I hear what you're saying, because that else the Mishnah says aholeh. But ask a different question. What is the explanation for the first line of the Mishnah? What's the explanation?
Somebody who's an agent for somebody else.
No. What's the principle? Why is he exempt from sukkah?
Because
he's oisik b'mitzvah.
Yeah.
Good. What has the Gemara now said about chatan? Why is the chatan exempt from kriya shma? Because he's oisik b'mitzvah.
But he doesn't have to do it right at that time. So
that might be the chiddush. That might be a chiddush. But just in that case, chatan is really parallel to what? To the guys who are traveling. They're not doing a mitzvah either yet. They will do their mitzvah. But, the chatan might also eventually do his mitzvah. So why do I need two illustrations to communicate the exact same principle of oseik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah?
Because the person traveling to get to where they have to go, to do what they have to do, they have to travel, to go see their rav, to go get stucca, whatever.
Yeah.
And this guy, he's not on a journey anywhere.
Good.
He is, he could consummate the marriage theoretically at any time after Kedushin, right? And he can say Shema before.
So you're claiming there's a real chidush in that particular case.
Right, that you don't have to be on your way physically
to do a mitzvah. So it's just, so now what is the principle? What do you want to suggest? What are you suggesting is the principle?
Is that if you have it in your mind that you're going to have to do a mitzvah, that counts kind of as the same as being a madera?
Okay, so now I'm going to ask you the following question.
The question has been the dera, when you're in the dera.
It's Erev Sukkot. Okay? Are you thinking about, I'm going to have do a mitzvah tonight?
Of course.
Sure. Okay,
yes.
So are you exempt from davening mincha on Erev Sukkot because you're going to do a mitzvah?
No.
But it doesn't impinge upon it. In other words, but davening mincha isn't stopping you from...
Either is davening saying Shema. It's not stopping him from going to bed at 11 o'clock at night. So the Gemara is going to send.
Are not patur from davening.
What?
Shluchei mitzvah are patur also from davening.
Does it say patur? It says this Mishnah is creating a rule. A rule. Tosfos is going to ask that question on Rashi. That you mean to tell me that if you're sitting and you don't have to do any mitzvah at all?
Right.
But normally the principle is yes, you are right. He is exempt from davening.
Who, the
question
you're saying?
No, let's go with the guy traveling. The guy traveling. It's not only that he's exempt from sukkah. It says pater min ha-mitzvah. He's pater from any mitzvah. He doesn't have to say Shema. He doesn't have to daven. He doesn't do anything. Because he's doing a mitzvah.
But only mitzvah say.
That's what davening is. A mitzvah say. It's not allowed to violate a law.
Right.
Correct. But, so, it's a very broad exemption. And it can be taken to the nth degree.
Right.
So we are going to see how other Rishonim try to limit it, and they put the emphasis on the word osek. What does osek mean?
To be involved.
Physically involved.
Right, if someone gives you shliach mitzvah money, you could always have someone give you something or do something to get you out of doing it.
Exactly.
Right?
I don't have to worry about davening on the plane because
exactly.
I have $2 in my pocket that I'm going
to
deliver at the hotel.
It's a great excuse to not be observant.
Rashi could be taken to the nth degree.
Right.
If this would be the halacha, Elal stewardesses would be saved a lot of headaches. This guy standing up in the hall, in the aisle. So the Gemara is going to sense this and introduce another factor, but you are right. It seems to be not the most compelling reason to exempt the chatan
And if we are going to, why exempt only when he's marrying a virgin and not an almana? So the Gemara is going to get into this in a second.
It is different than the shluchei mitzvah, though.
In what way?
Because the shluchei mitzvah, it's like a responsibility that was put on men by somebody else. So they've taken this responsibility on themselves, and they have, like, it weighs on them in that sense. Whereas somebody who's, you know, could choose to, who's doing it for themselves, can really choose to do it at another time. And nobody said they have to get married that day, could be.
Well, nobody said they had to travel now to the. To, he could have gone tomorrow to visit his Rebbe, didn't have to go today. Well,
you're I think to consummate the marriage of a doesn't have the same. What's the word?
Tension.
Tension.
Good. The Gemara is going to say that. We're going to get to it. Correct. I'm just laying out the groundwork. And the Gemara is going to ask the question. You're going to identify that right on the nail, on the head, and say that when you're marrying a virgin, the anxiety of is she a virgin, not a virgin? That's what people will ask the question. You know, it's a little anxious. By an almana, both of you are experienced already. Not so much anxiety, but if the anxiety is, ask the Gemara: is an ovel exempt from mitzvot? Because there's anxiety when you're, you know, there's tension. There is, you're upset. Your mind is focused on something else. So maybe all 7 days you should be exempt from every mitzvah. The Gemara is going to ask the question. So let's get to it first. I said we're laying the groundwork tonight for a lot of fertile discussion. So the Gemara said, La'afuke hai de b'mitzvah asuk. This Pasuk comes to teach us that the chatan who is engaged in a mitzvah is exempt, or if he's going to do it to learn or whatever it is. Mi lo askinan de ka'azul ledvar mitzvah. So when the Gemara says, when the Torah says uvlechta chavaderech. How do I know that the inference which the Gemara just made is accurate? That when we travel, we're always, or 99% of the time we're traveling with shus. Who said so? Maybe the word of Alechta Chavaderech means specifically, no matter what you're traveling for, just the opposite. That you are chayav in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, whether you are traveling for what? For a mitzvah? Or traveling for a shus? How does the word itself indicate the right to exclude this from that extra phrase? Maybe the word of Alechta Chavaderech means you are simply traveling. Traveling for your own things. Traveling to do a mitzvah. And nonetheless, Vishi Nantam Levanecha. That's what the Gemara's question is. Milo askinon de ka'azol ledvar mitzvah. Are we not talking about that you traveling for a mitzvah? V'ka'ama rachmana likre. And the Torah says, nonetheless, I want you to read. Answers the Gemara. Imkein lema kra b'sheves uveleches. The Torah should have written that you are obligated to read the Shema as you sit in your house and as you travel on the road. Why does it have to say b'shivtecha b'veisecha uvelechtecha baderech? Darshan's the Gemara. My b'shivtecha uvelechtecha b'leches didcha hude mechayevet. If you are traveling for your interests, you are chayiv. Inference. Habaleches the mitzvah, petiras. But if you are traveling or occupied in doing a mitzvah, then you are patur. So the Gemara refines how we derive this principle from the extra words, b'shivtecha b'veisecha b'lechtecha baderech. Not so much from the extra words, they're extra. But the real extra point is the cha. Why does the Torah have to say that? Just say, b'sheves u'b'leches. and you will know that you are chayiv when you are traveling or when you are sitting in front of your television. Asks the Gemara. Now the Gemara gets to your question. Ihachi afilu kones eswalmana. If you're simply defining that any mitzvah exempts you from another mitzvah, why is it that if you marry a widow or a divorcee, the halacha is that you are not that you are chayav in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema that first night? Answers the Gemara. Kones et habitula tarid. Kones almana lo tarid. When you marry a virgin, your mind is preoccupied. However, when you marry a virgin, you marry a widow, you're not so preoccupied. So since you are not preoccupied in advance, there's nothing to worry about, there is no reason to exempt you from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema that night. So what the Gemara is introducing here is you really need what? Two things. You need a mitzvah plus
preoccupation.
Exactly. You're concerned about something. Because if you're not concerned about it, under those circumstances, I can't exempt you from doing a mitzvah.
You're going to see your rabbi.
What are you concerned about?
Rabbi,
okay, so there, it's the travel that you're traveling properly. I don't get into an accident and so on and so forth.
Even when you're on a Motel 6.
Oh, that's the question which everybody asks on Rashi. When you're sleeping in the hotel, doesn't fit into any category. There's no preoccupation. None. And therefore, everybody disagrees with Rashi. And the proof that they quote, I'll show it to you later time, is an incredible case. If I lose something, and you find it, and there is no identification on it, what mitzvah are you obligated to do? Hashavas Aveda. Good. What do you do until you find me? What do you do with it? What do you do with the item?
Take it with you.
And where do you put it? Where do you put it? Or in your house. Are you fulfilling a mitzvah at that time? Of course you are. I'm attempting to do what? I'm attempting to retrieve it. To return it. So the article, the wallet is sitting in your table. Asks Tosis, you should be exempt from every mitzvah that happens as long as you have that lost item in your house. Why? I'm doing the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. I haven't fulfilled it yet. I don't know who to return it to. Okay, I'm going to eventually try to find out. I'll make an announcement in shul, do this. That's ludicrous. That's why Tosfos will say, of course when you're in Motel 6, traveling, you're obligated to go to the sukkah and to read the Shema. Of course. Because you're not doing a mitzvah right now. And even though, in theory, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you credit for being Machzir Aveda, right now you're not doing a mitzvah. It's sitting. If you're going to pick it up and look around, knock on everybody's house, did you lose this? That I can understand. But when it's sitting in your house, because technically you're doing a mitzvah, that means that I don't have to fulfill a mitzvah? Any other mitzvah? It's ludicrous. So the Gemara answers that you need, in addition to a mitzvah, you also need tirda. Now, the Gemara is going to take this to an nth degree. The Gemara now thinks, in fact, I jumped the gun. The Gemara now thinks that the only criteria which you need is to be preoccupied. So then the Gemara said, nah, it means preoccupied doing a mitzvah. Asks the Gemara, V'chol heicha ditarid, anytime you're preoccupied, concerned, hacha nami depatur, you mean to tell me you'll be exempt from all mitzvot? Ela me'ata, Tava Svinaso Bayam. If your ship is drowning, sinking at sea, Hachanami Depater? You mean to tell me you'd be exempt from Kriya Shema? I would imagine that the last thing in the world you want to do is not say Shema if you sink a shipping. But are you exempt because you're preoccupied? Now, it doesn't mean you're on the boat. It means your merchandise is on the boat. And you're standing ashore and you're watching $2 million of drugs sink into the ocean.
And then you're exempt?
That's the Gemara asks. Are you going to be exempt? Because you're preoccupied. You're going nuts? You're going nuts? Or you are watching tonight the news and they reported about stock market plunging 522 points.
Yeah. So you're preoccupied raising your grandchildren.
What? Yeah. And under those, in the last 2 days, it said it wiped out all the gains of the entire year.
Yeah, in technology.
That's how bad it was in technology stocks. So, you mean to tell me you're exempt under those circumstances? And now the Gemara says maybe yes. The chitema hachanami. Maybe yes. Maybe the guy who's watching his drugs sink into the ocean. Maybe he's indeed pata from Kriya Shema. A frum drug dealer. Asks the Gemara, how's that possible? The Ha'omar Rabbi Avda Bar Zavda Omar Rav Ovel Chayav Bechol Mitzvot Ha'amurot Batorah Chutz Min Hatfilin Shine'emar Bahen Pe'er. Correct, we did that in the Monday night shiur. So the Gemara Rav said an Ovel is exempt from every single mitzvah, even though his mind is terribly preoccupied.
No, he's not exempt.
He's chayav in all mitzvot, despite the fact that, he went to the Levaya, he's sitting Shiva now, all he can think about is the deceased, his mother, his brother, his sister, his child, whatever it is. How can he be expected to fulfill mitzvot and read the Shema and go and so on and so forth? The only mitzvah which an Ovel is exempt from is the first day wearing tefillin. An Ovel does not wear tefillin the first day of Avelus. Because Yecheskel was an Ovel, his sister had died, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Pe'ercha chavush alecha. Your pe'er, tefillin is called pe'er, your pe'er is kept, should be kept on you. Keep it on. Keep it on. So the Gemara correctly tells us, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell Yecheskel to keep his tefillin on? Why shouldn't he keep them on? Answer is, because an Avel, other than Yecheskel, does not wear tefillin on the first day of Avelus. And that's, we paskin that way. We do that. Even after the, before the Levaya, a person's not an Ovel, he's an Onain. So he's exempt from all mitzvot asay. As soon as the Kvura takes place, his status or her status switches to an Ovel, and an Ovel's Chayav in all mitzvot, except for Tefillin the first day. So why is an Ovel Chayav? He is certainly Torud. His mind is logically preoccupied. Answers the Gemara. Hacha Torid Tirda the mitzvah. Hasam Torid Tirda de Rishus. This is a very difficult answer by Avelus. By getting married, says the Gemara, that is Tirda of a mitzvah. However, by Avelus, the Tirda is only optional. There is no mitzvah to be Torud, preoccupied with your mind by an Avel. This is a very difficult Gemara.
But there is by an Ones.
An Ones?
Before the funeral.
An Onane, yes. All exempt from all mitzvot.
So there you are really preoccupied because you have to
do the mitzvah. Okay, so there is a machloikis, Rashi and Tosafot, why an Onane is exempt from mitzvot. Rashi says very simply, Osek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. Because what obligations does a person have when a person passes away? To burial. You have to either dig the grave, knit the tachrichin, or get somebody to do it. So what would you say, according to Rashi, about an onan on Shabbos? Somebody dies right before Shabbos. Ain't no preparations going to be made till Saturday night. Should this onan make kiddush, daven maariv, and so on and so forth?
No.
Rashi says yes. Because Shabbos, he can't be osik b'mitzvah. If the reason for the exemption of an onan is osik b'mitzvah, which Rashi claims is the exemption, that doesn't apply on any day in which arrangements cannot be made. You can't dig the grave on Shabbos. You can't knit the tachrichin on Shabbos. So therefore, Rashi says he's chayiv. Tosfot says, no. An onan is exempt from mitzvot even on Shabbos. Because it's not osek b'mitzvah. It's the psychological feeling that I am not prepared immediately after a relative to accept the authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm angry at him. He can't tell me what to do now. According to Tosafot, you're exempt, and onan is exempt, even on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos. Our practice is a split decision. Split decision. Because what exactly are the preparations that an Ovel does today, an Onan does today, in order to exempt them from all mitzvahs? What exactly are they doing? They picked up the phone, and that was it. Now, after the phone call was made, you called the rabbi, now the rabbi called the chapel, did this. What mitzvah are you doing? None. Okay. If you're writing the hesped, that's okay. But if you're not going to speak, not every Ovel speaks. What are they doing at that particular time?
It's a state of mind. It's a break.
Hold on. That's the compromise. So we follow Tosvos during the week. But even though an Ovel may not necessarily be engaged in the actual preparation, he or she is not digging the grave, not knitting the thing, doing nothing basically, not doing the tahara. Of course you do the tahara, you do your Isik bar mitzvah, of course. But if you're not doing that, what are you doing? That Rashi would grant you an exemption. Rashi would say, I will not grant you an exemption, because you're not Isik bar mitzvah. Tosfos will, because he knows your state of mind. So during the week in America, for Onanim, we tell them you were exempt from all mitzvot. But on Shabbos, even if the death took place 5 minutes before Shabbos, so you won't daven mincha, but as soon as it gets dark, you're going to daven marv, make kiddush, daven a whole day, and Shabbos is out, you don't have to make avdalah, now you're an Onan again. Because we accept Tosfos' opinion during the week, but on Shabbos, we accept Rashi. On Shabbos, you can't do any melacha, any preparation. Therefore, you are chayav in all mitzvot as an onan. Yes, onan.
So would Rashi say then that a chatan, after the marriage is consummated, is no longer chatan from Shema? Because
yes, that's exactly what he says. It's only the first night. However, Rishonim talk about what happens if he didn't consummate the marriage on the first night. So they'll grant him on the second night an exemption, up until 3 nights. If you can't consummate by 3 nights, too bad. Say Shema. And pray. What? Yeah. Hope for the best. Yes. So that's what the Gemara says. That here you require a combination of tirda plus mitzvah. Tirda plus mitzvah. And that's another attack that all of the Balei HaTosis have on Rashi. What tirda exactly are you involved in, even if you wanted to say you're on the way to do a mitzvah when you're at Motel 6? What tirda are you involved in watching television, ESPN, with your feet propped up? What tirda? she's having a blast. Why should we be exempt from the sukkah? Why should we be exempt from Kriya Shema? Why? That's Tosis's question. And that's why we don't paskin that way. We don't paskin like Rashi. And in fact, we will get to a Tosis, which we'll see, Tosis and the Ran, where you can do both mitzvot. Efshar l'kayim shneim, you're not exempt from either of them. We'll talk about them when you get to Tosis. But I want to continue the Gemara. All of this is the first potential source of the principle of Osek b'mitzvah patam mina mitzvah. The Gemara is going to propose that there might be an alternate source. And it's not problem-free either. Asks the Gemara, Me hacha nafka? Do we learn it out from here, from that which we just described? B'shiftecha b'veisecha o'v'lechtecha v'aderech? Me hasam nafka? We learn it out from there, someplace else. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa. Vayehi anashim asher hayu timeim l'nefesh adam. There were people, this is a pasuk in Parshat Beha'alotcha, Bamidbar chapter 9, where Pesacheni, correct. It was, this is the right after the first, right before the first anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim. First anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, Am Yisrael are still at Sinai. Why are they at Sinai? Because after the Chet HaEgel, Am Yisrael didn't move any place. Moshe went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul to seek Kapara. He comes down on Yom HaKippurim and he says, God said, I have forgiven you. And then he also told them, build a Mishkan. So they're building a Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we're not moving until the Mishkan is built. That starts on the Yud Aleph Tishrei. It starts after Sukkot. Right after Sukkot, they start building the Sukkah, the Mishkan. Fine. It takes them until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the Mishkan is finally established, erected for the very first time. Then, they dedicate the Mizbeach, for what? For 12 days. So it is a big dedication, party, and everything else. It's not a 12th, it's not a 13th day of the month of Nisan. 2 days short of the first anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Moshe says, 2 days is Pesach, we're not going any place. It's now 1 day later, the 14th, and he reminds them, you have to bring a Korban Pesach. Bring Korban Pesach. In fact, this was the only Korban Pesach that they brought for the entire 39 years in the Midbar. They did not bring a Korban Pesach at all during the 39. It's a difficult, but it, not my discussion now. It's a difficult to understand it. So now, on the 14th, some people came to Moshe and said, we can't offer the Korban Pesach because we are Tmeim. So now let's continue with the story. Otam anashim mihayu. Who were those people? Who were those people who suddenly claimed Tmeim l'nefesh adam? The Torah does not identify them. Answers Rashi. Answers the Gemara, opinion number one. Nosei arono shel Yosef hayu. They were the people who carried the aron of Yosef from Mitzrayim on their way to Egypt. On the way to Eretz Yisrael. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Haglili. That's Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Now, tell me why you think that somebody would have to disagree with him. Tell me why you think there's going to be another opinion, perhaps even two other opinions. Tell me why they're not satisfied with this answer.
They should be putter.
Why should they be putter?
That's interesting.
Okay, good, interesting. That's a very good point. But tell me why they were not osek b'mitzvah.
They weren't carrying it at this point.
Exactly. They weren't doing anything. When were they osek b'mitzvah?
When they
left from Mitzrayim until they got to Har Sinai. When they left Har Sinai, which is over a year and a half later, and they decided to start, then they're osek b'mitzvah, yes. But right now, they're not osek b'mitzvah. They're not osek b'mitzvah. But what else would they... They didn't say to Moshe, we're osek b'mitzvah, we should be patur. Why are they claiming that they are patur? They're tamei. Good. Because they were carrying a dead body. So now, in light of the last comment, tell me what question you have to ask.
What last comment?
The last comment, that while they were in at Sinai, they weren't carrying it anymore. So...
But didn't they have to? They had to clean themselves before Har Sinai. They had to make themselves. Didn't they have to?
Okay, but that was months ago.
Yeah, but they didn't touch the body since then.
Okay.
Well,
and so, what did they cleanse themselves? They didn't cleanse themselves with the one critical thing that you need: ashes of the paraduma. But the ashes of the paraduma was around.
It was around.
Of course, it was around.
So why?
And that year, on the second day of the month of Nisan, God told Moshe, Make a paraduma. Why are you going to have to make a paraduma? Because there are lots of people who are tamei.
Yeah.
Now, how long does the process take in order to get you cleansed to enable you to come to the mikdash and bring a korban? 7 days. And you are sprinkled, as it says in Parshas Chukas, on the third and the seventh day after you were tamei. These guys have not become tamei, were tamei, but they had plenty of time before Pesach to do what? Why were they complaining to Moshe that we are tameim l'nefesh adam? The Parah Aduma was created 12 days earlier on the second day of the month of Nisan. After 7 days, which would make the ninth day of the month, they could have been sprinkled by a Kohen and they'd be Tahar. Why are these people coming to fall? They weren't mitameim themselves? That's your fault. You have plenty of time to be mitameim yourself. If somebody dies, 2 days before Pesach, 3 days, okay, you can't be mitameim yourself during Shiva because you're still tamei. So what's going on? Not enough time. You don't need 7 days to cleanse yourself. So that's why there's going to be a second opinion. That's going to be a second opinion. Let's read the top of page 2, which is the second opinion. No, it wasn't around. They went to the mikveh.
Okay.
That's the only thing.
Good enough for a tummy?
No.
But they didn't have the Torah yet, so.
Correct. Okay. So they just had to be
clean.
Right. Spiritually clean, but not from Tumas Meis. Correct. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishael ve'el tzafan hayu, shahayu oskin binada ve'avihu. That took place on the first day of Nisan. So what question do you think the Gemara is going to ask on them? What did they do? Nadav and Avihu were burnt, and they went in and took the whatever was remaining, the ashes, and they buried them.
Still have time, I guess.
That's going to be the same question. Good, so now let's continue reading. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Im hayu, im nosei arono shall Yosef hayu. If what? If these people, as Rabbi Yossi said, they were the ones who carried the aron, hayu yicholin litaher. They had plenty of time to cleanse themselves. Im Mishael ve'el tzafan hayu. If they were Mishael tzafan, hayu yicholin litaher. They could have what? Cleanse themselves. So what's the problem? Ella, therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak says, I'm going to tell you what it was. Oskin b'meis mitzvah. Somebody happened to die. We don't know who he is. Now, a meis mitzvah means that there is nobody to... So somebody died, nobody was there to take care of him. So we took care of him. And when did he daven? When did he die? Within 7 days of Erev Pesach. It was a mace mitzvah. Nobody knows who this person was. Why is he called a mace mitzvah? Because they're taking care of the mitzvah of what? It wasn't a real mace mitzvah. Because a real mace mitzvah doesn't happen when all of Am Yisrael are all gathered at Har Sinai. Where do you have a mace mitzvah? Later on, when you get people separated and isolated, here, it's almost impossible that this person died and there were no relatives around. It's impossible. How could it be? And they don't know who he was, exactly. So it doesn't even mean a real mace mitzvah, what we call. It means somebody died and they went ahead and buried him. And it was within 7 days of Pesach. If it's within 7 days of Pesach, did they have time to cleanse themselves? No, they didn't. Now we understand why they're coming to Moshe and say, Lama Nigara. Why should we be denied the opportunity of bringing a Korban Pesach? So, and now the Gemara qualifies it. Shechol Shvi'i Shelohen Lihiyot Be'erev Pesach. This was the most frustrating type of thing. This wasn't the first day of the Shiva, wasn't the second day, it was the seventh day of the Shiva. And when did the seventh day of the Shiva come out on? Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach. And so the Gemara makes an inference. Shine emar v'lo yachlu la'asot ha-Pesach ba'yom ha'u. They couldn't bring the Korban Pesach on that day. Inference, halamachar yicholin la'asot. But the next day, they could have done the Korban Pesach. It's a little too late, because you have to do it on Erev Pesach. Very nice. So, how do you establish the principle of osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah from this case? How do you establish the case? And then we'll attack the weakness. How do you establish the case from the principle of osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah from this case? What do you think the Gemara is trying to propose?
This is the after effect of their being involved in the mitzvah.
Good. So what could they have done in theory in order to enable them to bring the Korban Pesach? Delay the burial. Until after what? Until after you bring the Korban Pesach.
Which would be wrong.
Okay, there is another concern. But if you had to weigh, listen care to the choices, Kvod HaMeit versus not bringing a Korban Pesach for which the penalty is what? Karet. I might have said, Kvod HaMeit is important, but in this case, it has to be deferred. We delay burials for a lot less significant things than, you know, this guy couldn't come from California. Oh, okay, we're going to wait for him. Oh, you're allowed to, but it's not as compelling as not bringing a Korban Pesach. So the fact that they engage in the mitzvah, knowing full well that they cannot bring a Korban Pesach, they didn't come to Moshe and say, hey, let us bring a Korban Pesach Betoma. They just said, we know we can't bring a Korban Pesach. We decided to bury that guy. What can you do for us? Moshe said, I don't know. Ask Kodesh Baruch. Kodesh Baruch said, okay, we'll make Pesach Sheni. We'll make you a makeup game. Exactly. So, therefore, the Gemara says, there is a second source as to teach us the principle of Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. So when there are two sources, anytime you have two answers in Tosfos, anytime you have two answers in the Gemara, what do you have to ask? Why do you need two sources? What are the weaknesses of one that I said I need the other? Each one must have a defect. Just as when Tosfos gives two answers, we always ask, what's wrong with the first one? There must be something not as compelling. Not as compelling.
I still don't understand the thing with mate, why that's an argument for that. Because we just said it's not an argument for that.
What do you mean it's not an argument?
Well, because they should have waited to...
And they didn't.
They didn't.
They did not. They decided...
Hashem gave them a compromise, but still wasn't Osek B'mitzvah because...
Yeah, they were. They were Osek B'mitzvah, and because they were Osek B'mitzvah, they will be exempt from the Korban Pesach 7 days later.
Because retrograde.
I hear.
Good. Like a good,
good. That might be one of the weaknesses. Good.
Because it has to be when you're on your way to doing the
good. Marathon. We'll see. Excellent. Good. So right now we stop now at this point where we know we have two different sources. I just want to make one comment on the Gemara's statement that an Ovel does not have tirda. And therefore an Ovel is chayav in all mitzvot. The Rav constantly used to hack us that in certain mitzvot, not most, certain mitzvot, there is a difference between the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah and the kiyum ha-mitzvah. By most mitzvot, the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah is the exact same as the fulfillment of the mitzvah. You eat matzah on Pesach. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to put it in your mouth. What's the key of my mitzvah? Putting it in your mouth. That's the mitzvah. By a handful of mitzvot, the ma'aseh is A, and the fulfillment, the key of my mitzvah is B. The classic example is Kriya Shema. What is the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah of Kriya Shema? How do you gauge in the action of Kriya Shema? You say it. So if you're going to say it and have no thoughts and intentions as to what its significance, you've done nothing. You've read it. What's the kiyum ha-mitzvah? Kabbalat o malchut shamayim. That's a mental awareness. So too the Rav always said, by simcha and avelus. By simcha, what is the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah? Eat meat. Drink wine, sleep a little longer. Shulchan Aruch, it says you should go to shul a little later than you usually do during the week. At night, you should go during Shabbat. That's what it says. Go to the 9. If you go to Hashkama Minyan every day, you should go 9 o'clock to the Mishnah. Shulchan Aruch says that. So, what's the kiyum mitzvah of simcha? To be in the, to think that I'm in the present, I'm standing lifnei Hashem. Because simcha is always in the Torah, usmachtem lifnei Hashem elokecha, v'samachta lifnei Hashem. Same thing with havelus. The ma'aseh ha-mitzvah is to sit on the floor, wear a ripped garment, don't wear shoes. But what's the kiyum ha-mitzvah? It's to recognize the loss. To weigh it. Put it into perspective. Think about the person's contributions, and now you have to carry them on. That's all in your mind. That's all tirda. So to say that avelus does not have an aspect of tirda, and it's not part of... Avelus is a mitzvah. And it certainly, in my humble opinion, certainly has an element of tirda. Certainly does. Obviously, if it's somebody who's 101 years old, it's a little less than if there's a tragedy. Somebody just keels over when he's 59 years old or something like that. So it is a big difference. But the level of tirda, but to claim that there is no tirda, the Gemara is actually very difficult. We'll stop here, Rabotai, and we will continue next.